Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. The Shannon Joy Show. Well, hello world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We are broadcasting live from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It is so good to be with all of you today. It is Wednesday, the epicenter of a very, very busy, very short broadcast week here on the Shannon Joy Show. So glad to be live on Rumble. So good to see all of you on the live chat. The most brilliant, the kindest, the most helpful live chatters ever in the history of Rumble. You guys are amazing. We are live on Twitter. We're live on Spreely TV, that's Roku TV and Apple TV, as well as on demand on every podcast platform, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, you name it. We are there, also broadcasting from our flagship powerhouse, News Radio Wham 1180, the 50,000 watt blowtorch out of upstate New York. It is great to be with all of you today. Let's take a look at the live chat. Yes, I know we have the Dr. Naomi Wolf in the house today. We're going to be talking about this utterly amazing woman, very dear friend of the Shannon Joy Show, and accomplishing so many important things in these very, very important times in American history. We're going to talk to her about how to discern the new emerging independent media. She is a trailblazer with Daily Clout and all of the platforms that she is building. And the question on everyone's mind is, how do you discern the truth? How do you figure out in the wild, wild west of the new media as the old school stations are going down, as everyone is trying to figure out what to believe, what not to believe? There are conspiracy theories as far as the eye can see. Some are true, but some aren't. So how do you figure it all out? We are going to depend on a very rich history, a long career of Dr. Naomi Wolf to toss that all on the kitchen table and talk about it today. But first, I want to say hello to all of the live chatters here. If you guys want to ask questions, we can do that at the end of the program. Remember, you have to put question in all caps and write your question in all caps so that I see it on the live chat. And we can do that a little bit later in the program. We have Winford Frank with us today. Mama C 1996 is joining us on the live chat. Bill Benz says, good morning. Zen Woman is with us. Let's go. Hey, folks, we have Hammer O Justice, of course. A lot of the regulars here today. If you can smash the like button, hit the follow button, give us a comment, give us a like. That helps us push this show out and generate more eyeballs every day. As you guys know, the algorithms are never in our favor here in the Shannon Joy Show, and you help us organically grow the footprint of the show every day. Also, big shout out and thank you to our sponsors. Today on the Shannon Joy Show, you are going to hear from our friends at Connecta Mobile. You are going to hear from Colonial Metals Group and also Field of Greens. We could not do this without our advertisers. I'm going to be talking about them. If you're in the market for any of their services or any of their products, I want to encourage you to use the promo codes, use the websites. That way they know that we sent you here from Joy Media. And that's how it all kind of works, right? The advertisers come in because you guys check out their products and we all have a really great relationship. But these advertisers are amazing. They are supporting this show. They are supporters of the Shannon Joy Show. And later this week or potentially next week, we are going to be inviting the CEO of Colonial Metals Group, Paul Stone, into the Joy Virtual Studio. We're going to be talking to representatives from Connecta Mobile. You've met Brett Miller here on the show and really just developing a really great relationship with these guys. So without further ado, I want to bring in our very dear friend, I'm proud to say, Dr. Naomi Wolf. She is the CEO of Daily Clout, best-selling author, columnist, professor. She graduated from Yale University, received her doctorate from Oxford. If you don't know Dr. Naomi Wolf, you're living in a hole somewhere. She was a darling of the left in her previous career. Then COVID-19 happened and her contrarian views about lockdowns and forced masking and forced vaccination ousted her from that group. They blackballed her, throwing her into the arms of sometimes the conservative right, sometimes not. But the most beautiful thing about you, Dr. Naomi Wolf, is no one really knows where you are because you're always pursuing truth. And that's the topic of the show today, the pursuit of truth, the new independent media. You are trailblazing that path. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show.
Thank you so much, Shannon. And I just want to, you know, share in this mutual admiration society we've got going on here because of all of the voices and leaders in the freedom community. I consider you one of the bravest and strongest and, you know, also best organized and most effective, which is not a trivial set of qualities. And you put together some amazing gatherings up in Rochester that have really helped this movement be more effective, be more connected. And we love the fact that you are also part of our Daily Clout extended family with your show as well.
So absolutely. Let's promote that for a minute. Dailyclout.io. If you guys haven't seen, Did She Really Say That? It is my bi-monthly contribution, our collaboration with the amazing staff over at Daily Clout. And as I've worked with your team, Naomi, again, Mutual Admiration Society, I mean, there is, I mean, second to none. Everyone around you is brilliant, ethical, smart, diligent, hardworking. And I think that says a lot about the organization that you run and you as a person. So absolutely, girl, let's keep it going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that intro leads right into your question, where do we find truth, right? And the rise of the independent media and the death of legacy media. So did you want to go ahead and,
absolutely,
you know, throw me that query.
Absolutely. So we have seen the news headlines, a great piece in Financial Times, thewriting.com, both left-wing and right-wing news media tanking as Americans are getting sick of the news, right? Mm-hmm. All of the outrage, all of the fear, fatigued by the headlines and the fights and the battles. And so many Americans are turning off news media because it's just too much. It's so difficult to discern the truth. Well, this has created an opportunity which has emerged for diligent and ethical reporting of the news and truth. And you are a trailblazer in that, not only with Daily Clout, but with your work on the Pfizer documents, which is seminal work on the truth about what was injected into the arms of hundreds of millions of Americans. This will be one for the history books, Dr. Yeah. Wolf. So that work is so important. But you are, as CEO of the Daily Clout, in that independent media state, you are rapidly growing, adding content. And I guess my first question for you is, as someone who has sat on the left, in the right, in the middle, in this kind of gray area, how do you find the truth amidst so much chaos?
Well, I mean, that's the essential question of our time, right? Because without facts, we can't make good decisions. And without the truth about what's happening in our country, we can't begin to defend our country. And I've just come back from Europe, where I went for the first time since before the pandemic. And I saw that their media is so heavily censored there that they really are completely vulnerable and prostrate in front of the EU, basically taking all of their rights and liberties away. And they don't know what's going on. They can't inform themselves. They can't fight. And we're, thank God, in a different situation in the US because of voices like yours, and I would say mine and Daily Clout's and all the independent voices that went through so much because it has not been easy. you know, since 2020, reporting the truth about all of it, the lockdowns, the injections, the, you know, power grabs, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, like all the evildoers arrayed against the nation states of the world. We took great risks to report the facts. And so who did it, right? The legacy media didn't. And I'll get to your question about like my position on the chessboard in just a minute. It's relevant, but I just want to say this, the data and the statistics recently are really striking. NPR, I think, just, you know, is down to 11 million viewers from almost double that. You know, CNN is down to 500,000 viewers. I mean, on our social media platform, we reach 500,000 viewers a month, you know, tiny daily clout, right? The New York Times is way down. You mentioned the Financial Times, you know, the Guardian, they're all tanking. Why are they tanking? Because they betrayed their mission as reporters during the pandemic. Why did they do that? Because they took the money. My book, The Bodies of Others, which is a prequel to my current book, Facing the Beast, followed the money trail, Shannon. And in 2021, particularly, first the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and then the CARES Act were flowing millions, like millions of dollars, like $55 million to the BBC, millions to the Guardian, millions to NPR, right? PBS, to lie to us, basically, to overcome vaccine hesitancy. And you saw the nonsense in the coverage. You know, over and over, the New York Times said things that weren't true about the PCR tests and about, you know, like the classic example I give and that I gave in The Bodies of Others, which is right here. Forgive me for holding it up.
There you go. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Prominently behind you, too, if you'd like.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you. The COVID maps that everyone saw if they read the New York Times, you know, the Johns Hopkins COVID maps, super scary maps, bright red, you know, in your state, probably, you know, surges and infections and deaths. Well, as someone who runs a website that produces government data sets, I knew that that map couldn't be real because you can't create an API in real time that harmonizes all 50 data feeds. And also because the fine print said you can't look at the data sets. So anyone who works with data understands what I'm saying right now. But for those who don't, it means that you can say anything on a map like that if you can't look at the data sets going in to make the map, right? It could be pure invention. And then a graphic designer working on this project leaked to me that only 4 states were in fact reporting their data sets. So it was all imaginary, right?
Wow.
But I remember asking the reporter covering the COVID story in the New York Times on Twitter, can I see the data sets? Have you seen the data sets? Can I talk to the people who are putting together this map? And she's like, oh, you know, that's nonsense. And then she blocked me. So that's what the media did on a massive scale. And they called people names, you know, Jay Bhattacharya, Martin Kulldorff, and no doubt you and me, you know, they called everyone names who are raising questions. Well, now word has gotten out that people were lied to, that, you know, the pandemic probably arose from, you know, a virus manufactured either in Wuhan or now it looks like in Montana.
My word. Oh, geez.
Right. Okay. And it looks like the PCR tests were, you know, run for false positives. And we know that the injections have caused horrific problems that people can see for themselves. So people are not stupid. Mm-hmm. They probably feel suckered and ashamed, but they're voting with their dollars. And they're like, why should I ever believe? I mean, all of our institutions collapsed, right? Why should I ever believe my doctor? Why should I ever believe the pharmaceutical industry? Why should I ever believe the New York Times again? And so there is this massive pivot to the independent news sites that are, you know, independently funded. And by the way, thank God for sponsors, because we couldn't operate without them, right?
Absolutely.
And because we're independent and independently funded, and because we really don't care about anything but the truth, which is what journalists used to be supposed to be doing. Right. We have credibility and people listen to us.
Well, absolutely. And this is from The Hollywood Reporter. The media sector, this is just from a couple of days ago, is facing a crisis unlike anything it's seen since 2008 financial mess, with layoffs and cost cutting at every turn. The cuts have occurred in the backdrop of a declining web readership at these big sites, at many major publishers over the past year, as tech giants move into those spaces. See, they won't admit, this is Hollywood Reporter, they won't admit they betrayed the trust of their readers and their followers. But to your point, the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Time, Condé Nast, Sports Illustrated, Business Insider, New York Daily News, National Geographic, and the Baltimore Sun have all been in the news just last month for, or this month, for layoffs, cost-cutting labor walkouts, and bleak prognosticating, right? We just had a recent write-up by an NPR, reporter about the demise of these giants. Now, at the same time, though, Naomi, thewriting.com, which is a, I would call independent, the guy started out as kind of left-leaning, and he follows right-wing news media outlets, particularly the websites, right? Mm-hmm. And in an election year, last month, absolutely stunning report from The Writing showing that some of the biggest platforms, even on the right, so Daily Wire and The Blaze, and some of the biggest media platforms on the right are hemorrhaging viewers and listeners as well. And I would say, I mean, let me ask you what you think about that. I would say it's because, for the most part, the ones who have very grudgingly covered the lockdowns and the vaccines are the ones that I think are having the most trouble. Also the ones who want to pivot, right? They'll say now, our audiences aren't interested in what happened in 2020. They're not interested in vaccines. It's over. Let it go. We need to move on to the next news cycle. And I think that's creating a rift between them and their viewers, because people are saying, like, what the hell? Like, we cannot erase what happened in 21 or 2020 because it impacts everything. You can't report on the news of the day today without putting it in context of the lockdowns, because that destroyed everything culturally, societally, economically. We're having economic problems right now. The health of the country, our healthcare system, like everything. What are your thoughts? Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023.
That's really interesting. I'd like to see that report, because I'm honestly surprised to hear some titles in that list.
Right.
The Daily Wire is an interesting example, though. They were very, very, very pro-vaccine, like very, very, very pro-vaccine. I remember at the time listening, because my husband listened to the Daily Wire, and thinking, on what basis are they pushing this injection so hard? This was before we had the Pfizer documents reports underway. I knew, like anyone who should have been paying attention, that they were emergency use authorization, the trials didn't end till 2023, there's just not enough safety data to know for sure they were safe. But I do remember Ben Shapiro saying, safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective, that script. So think about just being like anyone thoughtful right now, and I'm not talk about you and me because we were freaked out very early on, but
day one,
people who really believed for a long time and trusted for a long time these authoritative voices in the CDC, they listened. How personal, you know, they listened to Ben Shapiro. They trusted him. He didn't disclose whatever relationship he may have had with whoever was funding this. And to me as a journalist, that is the, you know, crime number one. You know, and please don't sue me, Ben Shapiro. I don't know for sure that you took pharma money, but, you know, it's a good bet that anyone who was on the CDC script took pharma money in some way, took CARES Act money in some way. Mm-hmm. And then you listen, you inject your kids, you inject your elders, you inject yourself and your husband, and now you know that you've made a horrible decision, mm-hmm. not just for yourself, but for people you love. I cannot even imagine, like, as difficult as the last 3 years have been for people like me and my husband, and no doubt you, I thank God every day that we are not having those thoughts in our head, staying up in the middle of the night thinking, what did I do to my loved ones, right? So I'm just trying to, like, compassionately imagine what are people living like now? That's what millions of people are living like. And they're looking at this wrecked landscape. And, you know, people are very forgiving, right? If, just as you say, if the Ben Shapiros of the world or the CDCs of the world came forward and said, we are so sorry,
right.
We made a horrible mistake. We are going to be repenting this for the rest of our lives. How do we regain your trust? Let's process this. Then people, you know, they'd retain their audiences. Yeah. But you're right. We're not seeing any of that. In fact, in Facing the Beast, I talk about how there's this, like, black hole of acknowledgement in, you know, right on bookstores. You go in and all the people who are famous for writing about the African-American community don't have a word about how brown and black children are 2 years behind academically, or, you know, brown and black businesses closed. People who care about women's issues don't have a word about how women are back to 1960s era participation in the workforce because they could, because of the lockdowns, you know, none of it, it's all gone. It's all missing. And the consensus is, let's just move on. Well, like, I mean, that is literally the way families operate when there's someone who is a drug addict or an alcoholic.
Right.
You know, yeah, I beat the shit out of your mom.
So it's okay. No, you're fine. Self-produced girl on Rumble. Amazing home for independent house. Don't worry about it.
Out of your mom last night, but this morning we're just going to move on and pretend that nothing happened. And people, most people are not that dysfunctional. They are looking at the wreckage and looking at the fact that people they trusted are not being accountable. And there is a spiritual dimension to this too, which is, you know, accountability. When you wrong someone, you know, in my tradition, and I know in your tradition, you are supposed to ask forgiveness and
right.
you know, acknowledge what you've done. That's step number one, right? And right. people are seeing that absolutely, you know, people just used their lives and their trust like so much fodder to make their own money or to advance their own agenda. Why should they ever turn that dial in that direction again? I'm just imagining, but I'd love to hear from your listeners, you know, if that resonates with them or not.
Well, I think that it does, and it's outrageous. I had someone on the live chat yesterday. I often say tragic, and they said, stop saying tragic, say outrageous. I mean, we need a new righteous indignation about what was done to us. And now the continued gaslighting, because that's how I see it, Naomi. It is the ultimate gaslight, an atrocity committed against us. And now they're actually trying to get away with shoving it under the rug, sweeping it under the rug and ignoring it. And to your point, interestingly enough, thewriting.com is where they run this analysis on right-wing news media sites. The mm-hmm. Epoch Times fared very well, one of the few right-wing news media outlets that fared well, I would say probably to your point, because they were not afraid to broach these issues of lockdown, forced masking, and vaccines. Mm-hmm. But traffic to all conservative news sites, and this is from Financial Times, as with their counterparts across the political spectrum, declined sharply The two worst declines were found with Daily Wire at 73%, to your point, because the trust was broken. And then Breitbart didn't do well at all. They lost at 87%. Now, Ben Shapiro's, I think, is a very interesting case study on this because, to your point, Naomi, not only did he say safe and effective, but he went as far as to mock his audience and mock people in his audience who were asking questions about the vaccines, and he called them dummies at one point, right? And to add injury to insult, Ben Shapiro did acknowledge about a year and a half later publicly on his show that he was wrong about everything.
Oh, wow.
And has never talked about it since. So, right. So that's so in the end, there wasn't an asking of forgiveness either. It was kind of, he was outraged that he was lied to. Right. They gave me bad information.
He wasn't lied to. Right. I mean, I just say he was lied to, but it's up to us if we are reporters or opinion leaders, if we take this honored role in society of telling people what we think and recommending, you know, action steps and pretending to have any kind of authority over anything. It's your job to ask a follow-up question like, where are the studies? There aren't any. You know, what is the basis of saying safe and effective? You learn how to do that in middle school.
Right.
You know, cite your sources. He did not do that. So I'm sorry, that's not good enough. I am surprised to see the Blaze on that list, though, because I think they have been. It's my understanding that they've got some very honorable.
They are excellent. Yeah. I mean, my dear friends, Daniel Horowitz, Steve Dace, tip of the spear over at the Blaze. Jesse Kelly is great. Glenn Beck, not so much. He would cover it occasionally, but not a whole lot. But I do give him a ton of credit for providing a venue and a platform for people who are willing to do that, especially when other people were being completely shuttered and shut down in the discourse. And you have to give Ben Shapiro that credit as well. Candace Owens, you know, even though she's been axed over there, Candace Owens was allowed a platform and you were able to have some discussions there. So it is nuanced. We don't want to be like off with your heads with everyone, but I think these conversations are important. We're going to go to break in a minute. We have to go to a commercial break, but the live chat is on fire. It'll give you a chance to take a look at it. There are definitely some questions. People are wondering about Donald Trump, if whether he is failing to gain traction right now among a growing faction on the right because of that exact phenomenon. We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, you know, some criticisms of RFK Jr. He really hasn't talked a whole lot about the vaccines. So again, there's this giant elephant in the room. So many media outlets and political establishment figures unwilling to address it. My mission in this political year is to get this issue on the table and really compel these people to talk about these things because I'm not over it.
Right.
And I know the audience isn't over. I know you're not over it.
No.
Not by a long shot. So we're going to go to break really quickly, featuring a new spot from one of my favorites up there with Daily Clout, the folks over at Brownstone Institute. Jeffrey Tucker is my heart and soul, and they have a great new commercial out that we're running for them here on the show, and you're going to hear from CMG Group et al. We'll be back in a moment to continue this very important discussion with the Dr. Naomi Wolf. You can follow her on Twitter and also get all of their information at dailyclout.io and any of her best-selling publications and books. Make sure that you support those platforms. She is, as I've mentioned, the tip of the spear, a trailblazer in this independent media space. We will be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show.
Has the dust settled from the COVID policy response? Far from it. The storms are many. Inflation, learning losses, ill health, high crime, broken government services, displaced workers, substance abuse, mass loneliness, discredited science, real estate crisis, censorship, and overweening state power. The world is on fire with war, mass killings, crime, hunger, revolution. The lack of accountability, or even so much as an apology, is a foreshadowing. They'll keep their newfound powers and try it all again. Brownstone Institute is seeking answers, undertaking important research, and publishing the results while providing fellowships for dissident scholars who have been professionally displaced. It's not about this one crisis. We urgently need to restore peace, prosperity, and integrity in science and journalism. Visit brownstone.org for more. We may never get to the truth, but we can get closer to the truth. There will be no stopping the efforts.
Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure, but having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today.
After a lifetime of hard work and smart investing, the last thing you want to worry about is losing your retirement savings. Hi, I'm Paul Stone, CEO of Colonial Metals Group. We specialize in helping hardworking Americans like you take back control of their financial future, safeguard their savings. In economic times like these, millions turn to physical precious metals as a form of insurance, while conventional investment choices face challenges or even collapse. If you have an IRA, 401k, or other type of retirement account, my team at Colonial Metals Group would like to help you build a financial protection plan outlining the most secure future for you. We've put together a free protection kit showing how you can start investing in precious metals 100% tax and penalty free to protect and grow your wealth. You can download it for free now by clicking the button below. Customers, we're very proud to say, across the country have been very impressed by my team's in-depth knowledge of financial history and their ability to listen to you. We hold the same conservative values you hold and on ones our great nation was built on, and we can't wait to start helping you and working with you. Again, just click the button below to download our retirement protection kit for free now.
Welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show. And if you scroll down just a bit on this Rumble broadcast, also the Twitter broadcast, you will get the Shannon Joy link to Colonial Metals Group. So pleased to welcome them as an advertiser and sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show. There are a million gold companies out there. There is only one that supports this show, this independent operation, and helps us to keep the lights on. That was Paul Stone. You are going to meet Paul Stone, the CEO of Colonial Metals Group, in future days here on the Shannon Joy Show. An amazing organization. They share our values, and there are a variety of different ways that you guys can invest. You know that I have been buying a little bit of gold and silver here and there and sticking it in my safe. For so many years, I use it as a hedge to diversify, and I'm also beginning to prepare to invest via IRA, 401k, and they have an absolutely amazing, secure, self-directed IRA where you can have access to your assets no matter what the stock market does, no matter what the government does, no matter what they try to throw at us in 2024, and you know they're going to try to throw something at us in 2024. The team of experts at Colonial Metals Group can help you protect your family's future. And there is a very special offer for just the Shannon Joy audience, a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver if you qualify. I want you to consider clicking on the link below in the Rumble channel, or you can go to colonialmetalsgroup.com/ShannonJoy-show/. I know it's a little bit clunky, so scroll down. You can find the link and the number if you would like to talk to a real person is 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950. Again, without our sponsors, we could not come to you every day. So thank you to our friends over at Colonial Metals Group. Let's bring Dr. Naomi Wolf back into the Joy Virtual Studio. She joins us today. And according to the live chat, Naomi, nothing matters but the hair, okay? That's
Sorry, everyone. It's like out of control today. I did my best.
That was gorgeous, though. But Donna, thank you. She says, these ladies have fantastic hair. And I will take that. You know, you never know. I do hair and makeup and lighting and the plumbing and the maintenance and everything. It's a one-woman show here. And oh, if I have a particularly bad hair day, I just put a hat on and it's all good. So let's go there. Everyone in the live chat is asking, they're curious about your thoughts on the strategy behind the Trump campaign right now.
Yeah. I did notice they're also asking kind of what my, whether I support Trump. So I just need to be transparent, which, you know, I didn't fully answer your earlier question about my own place on the chessboard. And I guess what I really want to stress before I speak to that is that I was trained as an old school journalist, meaning with journalistic ethics. And that's why it seemed, you know, I feel like I'm doing exactly the same thing I've been trained to do for decades, but the world has changed so that anyone who goes wherever the evidence leads them, so what reporters are supposed to do, is a weirdo or right wing or a Trumper, you know, all of these things, whereas I'm just doing what I've always done, right? So the truth has become ideological, and which is very bad for democracy.
Right.
So that's why when people ask me, what are you? Well, I did walk away from the Democratic Party because I have been persuaded that these Democrats are actually Marxists, wholly owned by China, trying to, you know, destroy our country from within and from without. So I can't support them, but I'm an independent, you know, and also just to explain why I don't endorse anyone, even candidates I really like, it's because Daily Clout is nonpartisan. So our job is to give you the news, give you the information, and also give you the power to change legislation, to see state and federal bills, to share them, to affect them. And so that's a totally nonpartisan job. I've been exiled from, you know, the left-wing media because I talk to conservatives. They're the only ones who will talk to me now because I'm here to question the science. But you know, thank God for conservatives and their open minds. So all that being said, I used to be a political consultant, as some of you know, for Clinton's reelection campaign and for Gore 2000. And I directly advised Vice President Gore. So, and then I was a White House spouse for many years during the Clinton era. My then husband wrote many of President Clinton's speeches and Mrs. Clinton's speeches. Yeah. So where I'm going with that is I saw firsthand how a presidential campaign is run. And I guess what I'm trying to say is people should understand that nothing a candidate does until he or she is A, past the primaries, and B, elected, really reflects that candidate's
true
feelings, right? Because it's terrible, but like you need to have some sophistication. In the primaries, to get through the primaries, people have to raise money, and it's not pretty and it's not nice, but unfortunately that's our system. And you know, Daily Cloud has gone a long way to fix it because you can reach the voters directly on Daily Cloud. Right. But meanwhile, people are still raising millions and millions and millions of dollars for ads. That's where the money goes to.
Well, we followed the money trail during the primary, which was very concerning, Naomi. You had a real collaboration between Truth Social and members of the right-wing news media like Dan Bongino, very clear financial investments and ties there. And so it colored, and we detailed that. I got in a lot of trouble, actually, for detailing that during the primary here on the show, a lot of trouble. Yeah. And so, you know, I would say not all right-wing news media, but many of them, I think, were compromised in some way, and that is just a speculation. Certainly there were aggregators and influencers and even so-called independents that really got on very early during the primary, which I thought was unfortunate. I thought that Ron DeSantis really deserved a fair shake. I would have liked to see a debate. I think there should have been a debate. I think it was a miscalculation by Trump's team. And I also think even the consultants are wrong. I know that they're telling them, Naomi, don't talk about vaccines, don't talk about lockdowns, because by the way, you were complicit in all of it. So you can't go. I get the strategy, right? I just don't like it. You know?
No. Yeah. Totally. I mean, just, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, go for it.
No, but I mean, given that everyone should understand, like right now, RFK Jr. is a lot of people are mad at him because he's supporting Israel. And a lot of people think there's a genocide in Gaza. Well, for sure, he got a check. You know, I don't know this for sure, right? But my intuition from having been a political consultant is, you know, he's at that stage in the campaign where you have to raise those big checks. Donors have certain things they want a candidate to say. And after you get past those goalposts, you can be a lot more authentic about what your real feelings are. So that said, I totally agree with you about President Trump and his reelection campaign. The consultants, any consultant who tells any candidate to sweep anything under the rug, they do it, right? Because initially, what's the upside? You're only going to look bad. It can be taken out of context. And with Trump, everything is taken out of context by the lens of media. However, we now are in a new cycle and a kind of a digital cycle where candidates can talk directly to the voters, essentially, through live streaming, through, you know, their own platforms, et cetera. And I agree with you. You know, just like we were saying earlier, we trust the news media if they would say we got it wrong. You know, that rebuilds trust. It doesn't lose people trust when there's an apology. President Trump should, you know, lay it out and say, this was the information I had. These were the decisions I made. In retrospect, not great. You know, I could not have known then what I know now. And I will make sure never to make that mistake again. Having said that, and if I were advising him, which I'm not, I would urge him to do that. Because many people who are his most passionate supporters and who would be knocking on doors and passing out literature and driving people to the polls are kind of stepped back. Like, come on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will end this rant by saying, knowing what it's like day to day to be a president, I blame him for not apologizing and coming clean now, right?
Right.
But I don't blame him for having made the mistake in the first place. And here's why. Literally, being president is like being in the middle of a station where there are 12 trains coming at you full force every minute in all directions. And you have to make decisions with unbelievable rapidity. You don't get enough sleep. People are pulling at you from every direction. And everyone's sense of what's happening is filtered through yes men and consultants. And, you know, it's traumatizing to have the media attack you all the time. That being said, every president is a generalist, right? They know, like, he's a real estate developer. Other people are lifelong politicians, right? Presidents aren't also scientists and also epidemiologists and also virologists, also public health experts. So they have to rely, especially for these specialized guidance, on their special advisors. That's a category. My then husband was one special advisor to the president. So these people saying to him, this is a novel virus. The World Health Organization says we have to have people 6 feet apart. We have to close the schools. We have to close main streets. He would not, at a certain point, the president has to take the best advice of the best experts around him. So I really don't blame him for that. And I do understand as a consultant that it does make a candidate look kind of weak to tell that truth, right? I have to rely on the people around me, but it is just the truth. So I just put that in context for people to make their own decisions.
I think that's completely fair. And I've made the determination over the next 7 months, I'm not going to let this political contest divide me from anyone. I'm going to allow people to have their opinions about what went down in 2020 and decide who they want to vote for themselves. I'm not going to make a recommendation. I think that's really smart. And, you know, you are probably giving Trump a little bit more grace than I would. I'm much harder on him, much more critical of him. But I think it's fair, and I think both opinions are important. In the haze and in the fog of what was going down in 2020, I also think it's important that we give people grace in that. I would not have wanted to be governor of Florida. I would not have wanted to be president of the United States of America. And yes, I was able to figure this out in like a hot second. But everyone, you know, everyone doesn't have the same life experiences and the same facts at hand and the same worldview to be able to discern this. I had been reporting on vaccines for 5 years prior to this. Wow. So I knew exactly what to expect. We had been using Children's Health Defense. I'd been using Bobby Kennedy and the work that he was doing with ICANN and Dell Bigtree for years before COVID happened. So everyone who was in that space was very well prepared to understand how pharma works, regulatory capture, how captured the FDA was, and even the history of Anthony Fauci, because he has been a long time bad guy in that whole space. So I think, my mission, and we're going to go to break after this and come back because I want to ask you more about your platform, Daily Clout Reporting, ethical reporting, how to run a news site ethically, but also make a profit. I think these things are all important, and help for the viewers right now, people who are watching and listening. How do they discern? What should you look for? What should you expect from a news outlet? What do they owe to you? And how do you spot the shysters? So I want to get into all of those things when we come back in a moment to continue this amazing discussion with the amazing Dr. Naomi Wolf. Please follow them, support them, dailyclout.io. That is dailyclout.io. You can follow Dr. Naomi Wolf on Twitter. Her handle is @NaomiRWolf. We'll be back in a minute to continue this discussion right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
I'm a nurse and don't have a lot of time for proper meals. Since taking Field of Greens, I have more energy and a slimmer waist, which I was not expecting, but I'm very happy about.
Being a firefighter demands being healthy. Broken meal plans and settling for fast food aren't a worry since I started taking Field of Greens. I get better sleep, I have more energy, I recover faster, and I definitely have better digestion.
Feel better, stronger, and more physically fit. Get 15% off plus free shipping with discount code TV15 at fieldofgreens.com.
All right, we are back. Naomi Wolf is with us today on the Shannon Joy Show. At Field of Greens, make sure you use a promo code JOY, J-O-Y, for your 15% off. That way they know that we sent you. I'm obsessed with the Radiance Collagen. It's an amazing product. It's the vanilla flavor. I put it in my coffee every single morning as an aging woman, hopefully aging gracefully, approaching 50. It's one of my beauty secrets. You lose collagen as you age. You can put it back with a daily serving of Radiance from Field of Greens. It helps with your hair, your nails, your skin, you name it. I love it. It's so easy and it's creamy, delicious. The vanilla flavor is my absolute favorite. And then I also, the other product that I love is just the straight up old school Field of Greens. It's fruits and vegetables, full servings of fruits, actual real fruits and vegetables, not vitamins. It's not a supplement. It is actual real fruits and vegetables. I dump it. My kids do smoothies all the time. They're athletes. They love all of the smoothies, the berry smoothies and the banana smoothies. And I'll dump a couple scoops of the Field of Greens into their smoothies. They don't even know it. It helps them to get their serving of vegetables as well as the fruit. So that's how we do it here at the Joy Household. You can do it as well. Of course, we love Field of Greens, Brickhouse Nutrition. They're amazing. So go to the website, fieldofgreens.com, and use that promo code JOY. You'll get 15% off. And more importantly, as is the theme of the show, they know that we sent you. Dr. Naomi Wolf, welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show as we discuss the wild, wild west of new independent media. So there's a real opportunity for us, Dr. Wolf, right? As mainstream media just collapses, people are losing trust on the right and right-wing news media as they continue to ignore the issue and the atrocities that were committed in 2020 and 21. And I personally think that the longer they ignore this, the worse it's going to be for them. It's not working for them financially or their audiences, despite what all the consultants are saying. Now, luckily for us, Dr. Wolf, we have an amazing opportunity. Your work over at Daily Clout is amazing. We're so thankful for Rumble, for example, which is setting up. I mean, I love the team at Rumble. They allow me to broadcast independently. There are so many new voices out there. And I want to really, tap into your expertise about this new independent media. First, let's, from your perspective, 40,000 foot vantage point, the landscape, where are the opportunities and who do you see shining and who do you see having trouble in the near future?
That's a great question. I mean, the truth is, no one has that I'm aware of, except maybe the Epoch Times, has a silver bullet for this conundrum. The legacy media has been trying ever since the internet, internet news and Facebook became a thing to rework their business model, because it used to be that the classified section, believe it or not, in your physical newspaper before the growth of social media sites was what paid for investigative reporting, local reporting, journalism. You know, good journalism was paid for by car ads and help wanted. And so with sites like cars.com and, you know, monster.com, that those revenue sources died. So that the reason that's important to understand that history is it means that news sites that had had a solid business model were very vulnerable in 2021 and 2022 to this seductive siren call of free money for overcoming vaccine hesitancy. They weren't in a financial position to say, well, no, thank you. We'll just maintain our journalistic integrity. So I do see an incredible renaissance possible now. Again, it seems very humble, but you know, your ads for Field of Greens, our ads for the wellness company, those allow us to be independent bringers of news without fear or favor, as the New York Times used to say. So people really need to take seriously that they have a role. Audiences have to understand that their media is only as good as their support for the sponsors of their media. Right. And I know that seems very commercial and reductive, but it really isn't, because that's where the independence comes from. People literally saying, okay, you know what? I love Shannon Joy. You know, I could use some, you know, but you see, I will order some Field of Greens, right? It's a very direct relationship.
Yeah. Well, and isn't the, to your point, isn't the divulging of the sponsorship really, really important? So when people know it's an, they know what space is editorial, they know what space is journalistic, and they know what space is sponsored. And it, if they support the sponsors, then they don't have to take the backroom deals or gain the access or do anything shady that might color their reporting, right? I mean, so that's why that's important, is it not?
It is totally important. However, having sponsors doesn't guarantee that news sites will obey the, you know, gold standard of journalistic ethics, which includes what you just mentioned, which is called disclosure or disclosures of conflict of interest. So in my old school training, and I wrote an essay about this on my Substack that I do recommend.
I read the whole thing. Please plug it. Start to finish.
It's called Vitamin Wars. So it basically explains that, yeah, traditional journalism, which used to be called journalism, everything else didn't rise to that standard, absolutely had what used to be then called a Chinese wall, probably is politically incorrect to say that, nonetheless, between advertising and editorial. And just as Shannon just said, a real news site disclosed if someone was paying the money always, or if there was some other conflict of interest. For instance, when I cite my husband, who's an intelligence analyst, I will always say, Brian O'Shea, disclosure, my husband.
Right.
Because that's a conflict of interest if you don't disclose it. Every time we run a feature that is underwritten or showcases our sponsor, we say sponsored content. So that's old-fashioned gold standard journalism, which discloses, you disclose. And that paradoxically, that builds trust, because there are news sites I don't want to name, but I don't approve of them, that do coverage that looks like news of their sponsors, but don't say this is sponsored.
Right. It's
a no-no. We are in the Wild West, for good or ill, with new media, in the sense that anyone can launch a podcast, anyone can, you know, really build a website. So there are no longer, that's great because you have all these new voices, but it's also got a downside. There is no publisher, there is no attorney to say defamatory, or we can't run that because that's not true, you know, you have to disclose this conflict of interest. So there's good and bad. But I would say, people, if you're looking for credible journalism, make sure that you notice when people disclose that someone is a sponsor, just as Shannon Joy does and Daily Cloud does.
Well, and I think what you wrote in Vitamin Wars, and please go to Naomi Wolf's Substack for all of her amazing musings and writings and research and, you know, investigation. That really is, I think, every independent content creator, influencer, broadcaster, whether it's podcasting or here on Rumble, should read that, because it really is a step-by-step in the basics of how to conduct ethical journalism. And the key really is, like, what are your angles, right? My audience, I've always believed, deserves to know what my angles are. They need to know, basically, not in too much detail, but who the sponsors are, what impacts me or influences me. If I've made a decision about a political candidate or a certain, I need to disclose that to the audience so that they know where I'm coming from. And I think that's really the key in truly organic, genuine, authentic reporting, which I think is what the American people, even if they don't know they want it, mm-hmm. I think they're signaling they want to. They want that because they're tuning out of everything else. So they're not saying it outright, but they're, to your point, walking with their feet.
Totally. And also, how can I put it? I think some of this, honestly, Shannon, is spiritual. Mm-hmm. Meaning if you walk in truth and you're committed to the truth, people can feel it, you know, whether they check the fine print or not, they can feel that you have integrity. I mean, I've been looking at, you know, the faces of the people who have lied and lied and lied for the last 3 years, and journalists as well as heads of agencies. And they just have this like very distorted affect, you know, because they're lying and they've been lying for right. years and they've aligned themselves with a lie. So whether that's something you pick up practically and materially, or whether we pick it up on kind of a soul level, and I don't need to get all metaphysical.
Yeah, instinctually. No, it's your gut sense.
Times, mm-hmm. But people can feel like, do I feel like my, you know, like things that are preying on you or lying to you drain you energetically? And mm-hmm. I think people are becoming more sensitive to, does that restore my soul, you know,
right.
kind of phrasing of the Psalms, or does it drain me? And truth restores you, you know, truth fortifies you. You feel good when you're around the truth long-term, not at like a short burst of like clickbait, but full revelation of truth is restorative. I don't know why.
Yeah. That's one of the signals to me, Naomi, that I always look for is how do I feel, you know, so often and tragically in especially in right-wing news media or some of those elements, there is this constant outrage, constant fear, constant angst and anxiety with no like outlet to diffuse it other than vote for Republicans in, you know, 7 months from now, right? And so I would always leave feeling impotent and angry and this free-floating anxiety with nothing to really channel it into. So I always look for presenters, communicators, journalists who will present the problem in a truthful way, but also empower their audience with, you know, the access to other good information or access to some type of recourse. What can you do? How can you, you know, protect your own family or set things up for yourself? And I think that's also something for people who are fatigued by the fear porn and the outrage. Ink is, you know, I think that's an element. I also look for consistency. So that's one of the things I really love about you and even Jeffrey Tucker. I mean, I was using Jeffrey Tucker's stuff. He's the CEO of Brownstone Institute or the founder of Brownstone Institute. But back when he was at AIR and Fee, I was using his stuff and didn't even know it. We had never met. Right. But there is such a consistency over 10 years. Daniel Horowitz is another one. Steve Dace is really great. I've been using Zero Hedge for years, Children's Health Defense, but also you, like you have stuck solidly to your principles and everything changes around you, right? The left changes, the middle changes, the right, but you have, really displayed that consistency, which is really important. What are your thoughts on that and consistency of narrative and presentation?
I mean, I appreciate you saying that. pardon me. If your first priority is the Constitution, which is my first priority, you have to be consistent because the Constitution, you know, is like a true north. And if your intention is to report what you find without fear or favor, people are going to feel a consistency. I mean, I've cared about women's health and reproductive and sexual health and reported on it for 35 years. And so when I did that in 2021 and reported that women were having menstrual problems from the mRNA injection, the world had changed. The money flow had changed.
Right.
I became a crazy conspiracy theorist, but I was literally doing what I'd been, you know, doing for 35 years. And I don't know. I don't understand people who shift with the wind because I don't understand how they're happy or have any peace in their own lives. Because that just lacks all integrity. What's the point of doing anything if you can't be aligned with the truth? What's the point of being a reporter if you're not bringing people the truth? I did want to respond to something I see in the chat. which is someone said, some sponsors put strings on their sponsorship. That may be true, but I just want to say we don't ever accept that relationship. And I'm sure Shannon doesn't. So
no.
Just wanted to say, I'm sure there are sponsors who say you can't do X or Y, but we would never, ever, ever entertain them.
Absolutely. And my audience knows I have been deplatformed. I have lost advertisers. I've lost producers. I mean, for that very reason, over and over and over. That would never happen. Any advertiser that you ever see on the Shannon Joy Show gives this platform complete editorial freedom, which is really important. Something else I've noticed about you, Naomi, is your use of language. And you're very careful with your very, very careful with your language. Something I've noticed from you in terms of changing our language as we move forward so that we can communicate better. And I think that you are very polite in all of your dealings, in your emails and your texts. And I've been dealing with you for quite some time and just to the extreme of polite, cordial correspondence. I use it now. I've learned from you in this, in a lot of my correspondence, because I actually think it just kind of elevates everything. But you're also very precise with your language and strategic with your language. And in the next segment, I do want to talk to you a little bit about geoengineering as we close out, because that's just so interesting. And I want to get your big picture thoughts on that. But even, in that discussion, encouraging people to use the term geoengineering or weather modification instead of the very, very hot chemtrails, right? Which is fraught with all kinds of actual scientific problems when you say those things. So would you mind, before we go to break, just speaking to the use of language and the tactics and the strategies you use to communicate so effectively?
That's so nice of you to notice. Well, my dad was an English professor, and my grandmother was a very forceful activist, but she had a very old-fashioned idea of what is a lady that I really respect. Right. And I'm a big feminist, and I care about women's rights, but I do think this ideal of a lady, and a gentleman is very important, more important now that civilization is
ever, right,
even than it's ever been, exactly. So that's one reason I do try to be cordial. The other thing is I'm bringing very troubling, throughout my career, bringing very troubling confrontational information to people that's difficult to process. I mean, even my book about childbirth showed that it was a mechanized system encouraging women to have very painful, difficult C-sections, and doing everything possible to keep them from giving birth naturally. Even just that one example from my career is upsetting, early on telling people, the medical system may not have your best interests at heart in this very emotional, important moment. So the point is, whatever we're talking about, whether it's the Pfizer documents or a coup against the United States or whatever I'm bringing forward, it's hard for people to hear. So I have learned that the gentler I can be personally, right, and the easier I can make it, the clearer I can make it, rather than going for shock or clickbait, it allows me, we're teaching, right? In addition to having a conversation with our audience. I mean, the best of us, I am teaching things that are helpful to them. So a good teacher is never going to try to terrify or scare or shock their audience unnecessarily, because people need to be able to follow and absorb what you're saying, to engage with it. But thank you for that. And what was the second thing you wanted me to speak to?
Your precise use of language
Sure. Thank you. Well, that probably comes from, I mean, one of the worst things I see in the country right now is divisiveness and division. I think it's very intentional. I think our enemies are trying to misportray the right to the left, misportray the left to the right, turns on each other. And all that
change agents. I mean, I really do think there are, change agents that are dispersed in different communities.
Totally, 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. And that's how I've learned from Brian O'Shea, who used to be part of the intelligence world. That's how we do to other countries. We disperse our assets to destabilize, to turn factions against each other, to create division and so on. So if you, to my immediate team of commentators, when I say to people, you know, please don't ever generalize about a group. Be specific. You know, not all Mexicans are X. Not all LGBTQ people are Y. Not all Jews are X. You know, just be specific. A, it's better journalism. You're certainly going to lose the clickbait audience if you don't generalize. But B, it's accurate, right? And it also allows us to not be further divided. So I do think all of those things are important. Per your question about geoengineering, if I'm not jumping the gun here, there are some words, and many of them I think have been coined to discredit certain issues. So I think chemtrails was probably a coinage to discredit people who were worried about these obvious, you know, emissions in the sky that change our immediate microclimate and create, as you see around me here in upstate New York, predictable, gucky rain. It's awful.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we will. But chemtrails is a word I've never liked because it doesn't mean anything. Everything is chemistry. And also because we don't know. Like, I've done a lot of research on, there are real geoengineering programs. There's a real technology called solar radiation management. There's a real technology called marine cloud brightening. There's a real technology called cloud seeding. These are all different things. But chemtrails, you know, when you look up in the sky and you see these emissions, unless you're sampling it, right, to a lab, you don't know for sure what it is. And journalistically, A, you shouldn't determine, you know, what something is until you know. But B, chemtrails is just a useless word. So when I write about these emissions, I try to say geoengineering, or it could be also biofuels, because they've changed the formulation of jet fuel, and biofuels absorb water, still a problem, right? You know, could be solar radiation management, could be cloud seeding, you know, all of these things. But I try to be specific because, well, you're less easy to dismiss that way.
Yes.
And you can provide citations and so on.
Right. They will use your words against you if you let them. And the key is to not let them use the words against you. I think you are right about chemtrails. They also used anti-vaxxer. That was another, I think, coined word to discredit an entire group of people, parents who had lost children a day, hours after being vaccinated. It really one of the most disgusting pejoratives I've ever seen in my life, hurled at people who are suffering. And they've been doing that for 20 years. And so, but to your point, I'm really, really relating to this right now, Naomi, because there is such a lack of discipline on, you know, these type of terms. Yesterday, I featured a really disturbing video from the Hodge twins, which would, you know, I have never met these guys before, never even heard of them, but they occupy kind of that alt-right conservative space. And they went on an 8-minute rant about the Jews, the damn Jews, over and over. And these guys are connected to mainstream right-wing people. They're big Trump supporters. And it was just, it was vicious to hear. And I couldn't help believe that there had to be an agenda there, because they said it over and over and over. That repetition, I think, is also a clue to the viewer or the listener. If you hear people using that same term over and over, it's a frequency mechanism. And I even deploy it sometimes. If I really want to hammer something home to the audience, I will try to hit a frequency of 3 on my show to like really let them know what I think. But if you hear that and you see it, and there are, and that's married with the pejoratives or the overgeneralization or the over vagueness of certain things, which would be the chemtrails, I think that's a clue to you, dear audience, that, you know, there's something else going on there. There may be some type of agenda at hand.
Yeah. And people become, you know, as my husband would say, in the intel community, unwitting assets, meaning that they adopt terms or fall into the trap of, you know, this hatred or that division or whatever. But you're very right, Shannon. And when I worked as, you know, around speechwriters for presidents and saw the communication system, it was absolutely repetition of a soundbite. It is a standard propaganda mechanism. And absolutely, if you see repetition or hear repetition, someone's trying to, you know, sway you.
Condition you. Yeah.
So
let's go to break. Do you see anything on the live chat you want to address or answer? I'm trying to keep up with it. It's pretty hot right now. I mean, we got a lot of people.
Well, one thing I did want to say about President Trump before we move on is Of all the things he did, though, the like when a president is making decisions, there's the what and the how, right? And the how is kind of their theory of the presidency. So I, even though I can't endorse anyone, and there are a lot of things I don't like personally about President Trump, I have to really, really, really give him credit, especially in a time like this, for leaving it to the states. And most recently, he did the same thing by leaving abortion to the states. And, you know, our founders created a beautiful system that Europe doesn't have right now, you know, that allows us to fight back, which is the states versus the federal government. So he may have made mistakes along the way, but he didn't ever mandate, to my knowledge. And he did say about lockdowns and how to deal with a pandemic, it's up to the states. And he said it in the face of huge opposition at the time. And his theory was correct, right? Because the Constitution says any rights that are not enumerated in the Constitution revert to the states. It says that. So he was just abiding by the Constitution. And as someone who is, you know, with great, you know, anguish and uneasiness pro-choice for the first trimester, I have to say, I think that, you know, and all of my left-wing friends are going to be mad at me for not saying we have to like reinstate Roe v. Wade. I've always thought, and I wrote, you know, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, that the decision should be made by the states, you know, like it's not a federal decision. It's, you know, so many decisions that the federal government is claiming the right to adjudicate don't belong to the federal government. And so I just want to credit him for leaving questions about how to deal with the pandemic to the states. It was a risky thing to do. He burnt, as they say, political capital, but it was like conceptually, theoretically, as a patriot, as a reader of the Constitution, the right approach.
It's interesting. He's getting a lot of heat from the right wing, conservative media and pro-life organizations. Lila Rose, really, really tough on that decision. Steve Dace actually put together a counterpoint yesterday that I thought was pretty interesting. This is what I love, though, even when we disagree on certain things, Naomi, like the ideas and the sharing of ideas, I find to be really important. And, you know, this issue you mentioned with great angst, your position on abortion. I'm just curious about how that, because I have that same type of angst as well. I'm very, very solidly pro-life. But I also do believe that ultimately the states, you know, pre-Roe v. Wade, the states were in charge of that social aspect of that issue. But it's a tough issue. Just real quick, I know it's controversial, but you know, where are your thoughts on that and what drives that angst for you?
Oh, that's a much longer conversation.
Okay. Well, let's not do it.
You know, I'm happy to start. I mean, you know, what I love about you, Shannon, is that you are committed to, you know, free speech, free exchange of ideas, even difficult ones. I guess as someone who, like, I would love to say I'm pro-life. You know, I'd love to just say I'm pro-life. It would feel good. It would be ethically consistent. I don't believe in the death penalty. And who doesn't want to, you know, who wouldn't like all things being equal to be able to side with helpless unborn babies, right? That would be delightful. However, I guess I just have deeply studied the situation of women around the world, you know, for many, many decades. And for those of you in the chat who are saying it can't be many decades, thank you very much, but I'm super old.
You are not. It's fine. Gorgeous.
Thank you. But you know, having Loki's joining us, I hope you don't mind.
Yay, of course. Loki.
There are so many things that would militate against women, and especially young women, who are the ones who disproportionately, you know, have abortions, right? And have unwanted or unplanned pregnancies, women in their 20s. If they really had to grow up and develop it, you know, in our world, or even especially in the developing world, in, you know, poor areas in the developing world, with no ability to plan their families, if they got pregnant, or space their babies, or no ability not to go through with pregnancy, I just think you are not going to have a situation in which women can be, you know, legally equal to men in a republic, and I also think you'd be in a situation in which many, many, many women would not be in control of their lives or able to feed their existing children, right? So the other thing is, again, religion is very interesting because I'm okay with first trimester abortion. I think it's much more immoral as a pregnancy, progresses. And I think it's very immoral, you know, like the immorality. And I wrote an essay about this called Our Bodies, Our Souls in the 90s, which was widely picked up by Catholics, actually. But I think that it's very immoral not to try to prevent a pregnancy if you can. And half of unplanned pregnancies are with no contraception at all, which is lunacy, right? But in Judaism and in a few other religions, the first 40 days, it is permissible to terminate a pregnancy. And so I guess my view is, in a line, you know, Catholicism is different from other religions in that, you know, life, like the impermissibility of ending a pregnancy begins at conception. Mm-hmm. Judaism does not say that. So that's different. And I guess what I feel like, I'm very moved. I promise I'll stop, right? Because
you're
none
fine.
Of these are
simple. You're fine. Yes. I'm interested.
Thank you. Well, I was very moved by a group called Feminists for Life, because what they said is that the fact that abortion exists, let alone at the scale that it exists, is a sign of the hatred of women and babies. And that if we had a society in which all women and, you know, all moms-to-be and all babies were cherished, you wouldn't see the choice to have an abortion. And I think that that is true. Mm-hmm. So what I would like to focus on, pro-choice and pro-life people coming together, is creating a world in which every young woman or every girl or every woman who has an unwanted pregnancy feels like she has many, many, many options apart from terminating that pregnancy. And mm-hmm. when they said, you know, most women who terminate a pregnancy see no other way out, see no other choice, I think that's true. And I think right. we don't want that world. And we certainly don't want a world, which I do see as coming from the left, it's gotten much worse. For sure, the left has cheapened the idea of abortion and not told women, this is something you might regret for the rest of your life. You'll have nightmares. You know, it could be like,
well, barbaric. I mean, second and third trimester abortions.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. And I've seen barbaric. Totally.
Yeah. And, yeah. and the violence to the women. Yeah.
Totally. And it's violence against women as well as against babies. So I would like to see, for instance, okay, I promise I'll stop. My life was really changed by a retreat held by these nuns. And the group was called Common Ground. And they would bring together people who hated each other pro-life and pro-choice. And so I was at this three-day retreat, pro-lifers and pro-choicers. And it turned out that we actually had a lot of things we agreed on in terms of policies. And we didn't know, for instance, the pro-choicers didn't know that a lot of pro-lifers were fine with making contraception more available. And the pro-lifers didn't know that the pro-choicers were fine with making adoption easier, right? Mm-hmm. And those two things, if we had easier adoption and more available contraception, cheaper contraception, it's very expensive to get contraception, to use contraception, we would, you know, save a lot of babies basically from abortion. So I guess I just wanted to end there.
Well, I think to your point, we lose the solutions on the periphery of the argument, right? You're either pro-life or pro-choice. I disagree with you. I believe that life starts at birth. I believe that life needs to be protected, or at least if there are two heartbeats, that indicates there are two bodies and we need to protect both bodies. And, you know, so that's been my position. But I also think that this discussion has just become totally distorted.
Yeah,
and it's been used as a political football to label certain people, to pit the parties against each other, to, you know, pitch at candidates to have them give a definitive answer on. It's very, very tangled. And we should probably do a full kitchen table roundtable discussion. That would be interesting. That would certainly be interesting on Daily Clout, Naomi, because I do think, you know, this is a huge issue, but I appreciate your explaining of your position on that, because people wondered about that. I mean, you are such a defender of humanity and life. And so they were, and I think that your position is nuanced. And I think it's really brave that you acknowledge that you have angst over it. Because I have angst. Listen, I'll tell you as a pro-lifer, okay? Yeah, this is my angst. I have angst over government officials going in and arresting women who are pregnant and afraid and alone in the first, you know what I mean? And like, and forcing them to like, so that is an unsettling spot for me as well. Right. Mm-hmm. I get it. I am fully pro-life from the moment of conception, but that I would be a liar if I said that those early on that peripheral, that, you know, that those early moments that I didn't have a little bit of angst over mm-hmm. my position as well. Right. I think that's fair. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. So I just wanted mm-hmm. to say that to you.
Well, thank you. Just a note from the chat. I think you meant life begins at conception.
Oh yeah. What did I say? Contraception?
I think you said life. Maybe I don't know. One of us said life begins at birth, but.
Oh
well, yeah.
I meant, what did I say? Heartbeat. One of us
said something, but.
Conception. I must have said something. Sorry about that, guys. Oh, I said birth. Life begins at birth. No, so I meant.
Can I, before we leave this topic.
Yeah.
Just bring up something that's bothered me a little bit about it. And again, at the risk of, you know, alienating all of my new friends.
You won't.
I did tweet. It's okay. Like, we can disagree, but it's beautiful to be able to disagree constructively. What those of us who come from the pro-choice side see sometimes, and I see it as well, is a lot of people in the pro-life side, and please bear with me, everyone, don't hate me, I'm just going to say it,
okay,
are very vocal about what women should do if, you know, that they should bring the babies to term. But there isn't a lot of help. And I know that people will say that's not true. And there are, you know, pregnancy support centers where you can get, you know, baby clothes and counseling. But honestly, it's painful for me to see so many people say, you know, you're wrong, you're a murderer, but not take those babies into their homes or take the girls into their homes or pass legislation to make sure that girls can finish their college education without dropping out of school or, you know, getting them practically what they need in order to bring that baby to term. So that's.
Oh, Naomi, I have yelled at my audience before about that when they get, you know, all into the legislation and the politics and, you know, they want the politicians to solve this. And I have often said to my audience, if you really want to save babies, then join a Compass Care, join a crisis pregnancy center, start something in your own community, because you'll save a hell of a lot more babies if you get active from the local level, from the bottom up, and helping people who are in need than you will from, you know, activating or trying to activate politically. So I don't disagree with you there at all.
I just want to credit one of your viewers. Mama C 1996 says, that's why I provide daycare for moms that need to graduate. Like, mm-hmm. God bless you. Like, those are the discussions we should be having together. What do these women need? How do we help them?
Yes.
And, you know, in love and not in judgment and not in condemnation. But honestly, I think so many women would have their babies if they knew how, like, what am I going to do? How will I graduate? How will I feed the other kids? I mean, and so that's honestly coming from the pro-choice side, the pro-life position would seem a lot more like it's intellectually perfect. It's theoretically perfect. Practically, we see a lot of shortcoming or I'm just going to say hypocrisy between people who condemn, but don't provide solutions. Sorry, I said it, but maybe that's.
Well, no, if you're going to condemn, then you better be damn well ready to put your money where your mouth is and provide solutions in your own community with your time and your treasure. I think 100%. I am with you there. To close this out, we're going to go to a real quick break and we'll come back and close this out with Dr. Naomi Wolf. I've kept you longer. I hope you don't mind. I know you're so busy, but this is such a fascinating conversation. You know, from my perspective, what I have seen in my life with some of my very, very dear friends, and even, you know, my parents have been involved in crisis pregnancy centers. My mother works for one right now. She's a nurse and, you know, she is in contact with these women every single day. And she shows them their ultrasounds and they have programs for these women who, you know, who are making this very terrible, terrible decision. And, you know, the only thing that I come away with, though, is that I think something spiritually happens to a woman, whether first trimester, second or third, when you cut short or you abort what is the most natural, beautiful process, right? Yeah.
You're right.
in humanity.
I agree with you.
The building of, and as a mom, I have three kids, you know, the building of just a human being and a soul in your body, such an unbelievable miracle that's why I can't, at the end of the day, I really just, I just want to your point, make it easier for women to make that choice.
Totally
and
agree.
Give the supports that they need. But this was a beautiful conversation on a very, very ugly topic and a difficult topic. And I appreciate you in your perspective, Naomi. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go to break really quickly. We will be right back right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey, everyone. If you are anything like me, you live your life on your phone, working, banking, shopping, connecting with friends and family. But in the digital shadows are rogue apps watching your every move, collecting that data. And in the silence are spies listening to your private conversations. Feeling paranoid? Well, me too. And you're not alone. With Kinecta Mobile, peace of mind is one tap away. Leveraging military-grade encryption, Kinecta shields your data, ensuring your conversations and information stay private. Build a fortress around your digital life starting at just $35 a month. You'll get an encrypted device, data and conversations, no data tracking, and a free secure phone with trade-in. Do not compromise on privacy. Take control with Kinecta. Go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Now is the time for peace of mind, and you can get it with Kinecta.
New details tonight on the 1963 assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was involved in a CIA operation 3 months before the assassination.
This project was said to be a covert CIA operation that was developing a top-secret vaccine and or a biological weapon.
What they're doing is they're trying to kill Castro.
I'm just a patsy.
In 1963, the world was a powder keg ready to explode. With the CIA holding a match to fuses on every continent. From Vietnam to Cuba, clandestine operations were being waged to preserve a fascist New World Order, which emerged from the ashes of the Third Reich. Assassination teams within the CIA had their eyes on two sitting heads of state. Fidel, a few years earlier, had survived an agency-led coup d'etat. The other head of state, President John F. Kennedy, had scuttled that attempted overthrow and pledged to dismantle the agency, which was already planning his demise. U.S. soil was no longer sacred nor safe from the murderous reach of the CIA, which now reached ambitiously into the heartland of America and into the bayous of New Orleans.
Not me, however, I'm a communist.
A young girl found herself caught up in a clandestine covert operation to eliminate Fidel Castro. This wouldn't be a shot heard around the world, but rather a silent shot of super cancer-causing poison derived from a monkey simian virus called SV40. A team of fascists hell-bent on defeating communism, directed by the CIA, was formed in New Orleans. This den of vipers included the head of the National Cancer Society, the FBI's former head agent in mafia-controlled Chicago, and a paramilitary instructor who would bring in a double agent named Lee Harvey Oswald. This tale has everything from murder, espionage, a tragic love story, to bioweapons and the genesis of gain-of-function research. At the end of this, we'll have one dead doctor, multiple dead agents, and a dead president. I'm Shannon Joy. Stay tuned as I take you through the full story. And welcome back, friends, to the final segment of the Shannon Joy Show. You heard from Kinecta Mobile in the first segment of that commercial break. They're amazing. Brett Miller is going to be with us next week on the Shannon Joy Show. He's a spokesperson and in leadership over at Connecta. We're expanding our partnership with this amazing company, and it's all about security. It's all about privacy. It's all about keeping the government, big corporations, hackers, everyone out of your personal business. And you guys know you do so much of your personal business on your phone. I do too. It's terrible. I'm a sitting duck, but no longer. We're going to be teaming up with Connecta Mobile. My Connecta Mobile phone is in the mail right now. It's going to be the official phone of the Shannon Joy Show. Super excited about that. But they can give you everything. Comprehensive security solutions, end-to-end encryption, a free phone, secure communication, adaptive authentication, all for as little as $35 a month for a basic plan, where you'll get the free phone, the encrypted data, encrypted text, and device encryption. It's an amazing, amazing company. They have all sorts of security solutions. So I want to encourage you guys to go to phone123.com/joy. That's phone123.com/joy to check out their products and services. And it's a whole suite. They're also expanding into satellite communications and also digital platforms for free speech. So again, another company, just like Colonial Metals Group, that shares our belief systems. They share our love of the Constitution and freedom and liberty. And they are supporting the show, keeping the lights on here at the Shannon Joy Show. So phone123.com/joy. We're going to welcome back into the Joy Virtual Studio Dr. Naomi Wolf, who has so graciously entered into the hornet's nest on the issue of abortion. I didn't prep you for that. I appreciate your thoughts. And guess what? Everyone on the live chat still loves you. So you didn't lose any friends here on the Shannon Joy Show. And I wouldn't let them anyway, because I appreciate people being honest and genuine. It is okay to disagree with people. We've got to get past this divisiveness. And I appreciate you. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So let's talk about, on the very end, speaking of like controversial issues, the issue of geoengineering. This is going to be a short segment because I know that you have so many things to do and I've kept you so long already. But I've been fascinated by watching your Twitter and, you know, everything that you're reporting on. This issue of what we're seeing in the skies, right? The emissions, I'm not going to say the word because I'm learning about precision and language, Dr. Wolf, but this issue of geoengineering and what we're seeing in the skies is now, I mean, it has moved into the mainstream of relevant discussion. Everyone's talking about it, maybe just because they can see it, but it used to be you couldn't talk about that. You'd be a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. But now it just seems like there's so much data, so much evidence out there, so many programs, so much money, so many players, that it's like really concerning that they could be dropping, you know, whatever on unsuspecting Americans in towns and villages across the country. From your perspective, what is the big picture on this? I'm going to start working on bringing in guests and scientists and people to get into the nitty gritty. But how did you come to this realization, and what is the big picture on this new phenomenon?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the first thing is in my latest Substack essay called Survival of the Weirdest, you know, which makes the point that like shamed from, you know, asking some of the most outlandish questions, because everything that's happening around us is outlandish. But, you know, I was trained by my dad, who was a writer, to notice things. And so I noticed, starting around 2017, dramatic changes in the sky over my head in New York City, you know, dramatic, and changes in the color of the sky. I mean, if you look back at art in the 17th, 18th, 19th century, skies were deep, deep, deep blue. Even in the early 60s, I'm 61, you know, skies were deep, deep, deep blue. Like sky blue used to not mean light, milky blue. It meant almost a sapphire blue.
Wow.
So that's changed. The white fading you see at the horizon, even on clear days, didn't used to be there. And clouds have changed. I mean, clouds, look at, you know, classical art. There are beautiful, lush, cumulus clouds, very fluffy, round and puffy, the kind children used to make in, you know, in elementary school, and a golden sun. You know, well, clouds in the United States are different from clouds in the rest of the world now. They're wispy and thin and often horizontal. You rarely get good, healthy cumulus clouds anymore. When you do, they're kind of fuzzy at the edges. And I mean, this is a little bit trippy, and it may have to do with like a change in solar flares or a change in where we are in the universe. But the rays of the sun have even changed, right? It used to be the sun was golden, and now the sun is silvery. Like, what is it? I don't even know.
But right, all right.
We do know. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
We do know. Loki, come on.
Come on, Loki.
Come on, Loki, join us.
Loki, keep it down over there.
Right there. You don't have to protect us from the squirrels. Sticking to what I do know, I looked into this question of what was causing these emissions in 2017. And LOTS is confirmed that has caused huge programs, as you said, geoengineering out of Harvard, this evil man named Dr. David Keith has a big funded program. He owns the IP, Harvard owns the IP, to engage in what we're seeing, which they're calling solar radiation management, meaning releasing sulfur dioxide into our atmosphere to block the sun. Why? Because global warming, you know, which is insane, right? They love the Mount Pinatubo explosion, which I think was at the end of the 19th century, which darkened the planet for a while. They want white skies. They want that. And so I outed them. It's some of the best reporting I've ever done, I confess, because it was so illegal to do this in the continental United States that they were planning to do it from a Native American reservation.
Oh, my word.
People in Arizona, over which skies they were doing this, saying what's happened to the sky and posting pictures online. It was clearly a geoengineered sky. And they had sent up or planned to send up in 2017 a weather balloon to release sulfur dioxide, which is in like pollution across the skies of Arizona, right? And evade the law. And they did so. And Harvard was behind it. And so I managed to tweet the Harvard alumni group to put pressure on Harvard to stop.
That was in 2017.
But there's so much more. There's cloud seeding in Australia. There's cloud seeding all over the West. And these are companies that send up planes and release, I think it's aluminums, but I'd have to double check.
Yeah, I've seen
to
that.
Make clouds rain. So good for some people, maybe, but bad overall, because what do? Those materials make forest fires burn hotter. So we've seen out of control forest fires in Northern California, where there's cloud seeding in Southern California, where there's cloud seeding in Australia in 2018, where there's cloud seeding. Horrible, right? What could possibly go wrong? There's the Carnegie Foundation. These people all want a global treaty to restrain geoengineering, which really means to allow geoengineering globally, right?
Oh,
they want to be the ones to decide where the sun shines and it doesn't shine on the whole planet. And it's heavily funded. Over and over again, there are these articles in Science magazine and Nature magazine, you know, saying we really need a global geoengineering treaty to allow it to happen. And the last thing I want to say is biofuels. So when I say we don't know exactly what we're seeing, but we do know something's wrong, my phone is full of pictures of cloudless blue skies. Then you see these, you know, planes with their emissions, which really look different from contrails of my youth. And you know that they will spread and cover the sky, and then there will be this grayness or this drizzle, and it happens
like clockwork.
Yeah. So it could also be, as you know, unintended consequences of biofuels. What are those? Well, the airline industry switched about 2016 from conventional fuel to biofuel because of the planet. It's green. Well, it's not very green. You get it from biomass, which is wood. Mm-hmm. But what it does do is it absorbs 50 times its weight in water. So these could theoretically, arguably, we don't know, be the emissions from commercial airlines that have been reformulated. But it's not so great what biofuels are doing, because they're absorbing water. Maybe they're causing this drizzle and they're blocking the sun. So whatever the cause. Oh, lastly, just off the coast of San Francisco last week, and I think I helped to break this story, a research program has begun for solar radiation management. And they did it off the coast of San Francisco to avoid backlash. Now everyone knows, and there's backlash.
Wow.
This technology is called marine cloud brightening, where they take the actual emissions from ships, which are very prevalent, you know, with shipping lanes all over the world, and they artificially spray salt crystals to artificially thicken and brighten these plumes. And when you look at the planet, you know, from those satellites that show like weather around the planet, clouds and cloud formations look completely different now than they used to. And you can see these like weird, unnatural puffs, or it's almost like spurt, you know, someone's like, and this is one technology, bursting a weather balloon, releasing the sulfates.
Yeah.
And you see it going across the sky, and it's totally unnatural and bad for us. But what a you know, bioweapon, if you can decide who gets crops and who doesn't, like the Dutch are declaring this is the first harvest since World War II with no crops. They can't, the fields are too wet to plant their seeds successfully. What a fantastic way to control humanity.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The populations. This is absolutely fascinating, Naomi. Thank you so much for your deep dive on this topic. You're blowing my mind right now at the scope and the scale of what has been happening really since potentially the 60s and 70s. I think some of the first programs were discovered in the 70s. But I think at this point, it has just reached such a crescendo, I guess. Yeah. Because everyone's seeing it and we really need to do something about it. So I hope to have you in again on this topic and also do a little bit more work with you, you know, over at Daily Clout at the roundtable, if we want to do some more on, you know, a lot of issues, because you're really just a wealth of information, but very, very concerning. Where can people get good information, solid information about this topic, that it does not delve into the rabbit hole and get a little bit cray cray?
It's tough, yeah. Right? I don't want to say anything critical about other people working in this area, but some of the best known names in this area, I don't cite them because I don't see that consistently rigorous citations in their approach. But honestly, all you need to do is look up the words solar radiation management, the phrases geoengineering, and marine cloud brightening, and you know, going back to your first question in our time together, good sources, I mean, not perfect sources as we've learned, but good sources are academic journals and science, you know, popular science journals. They're not great, but they will present, you know, you often get more information than they probably want you to have because presenting these programs as if for a friendly audience. Yeah. And government, you know, the Exxon and our U.S. Department of Energy has a program for this stuff. So the good news is Tennessee passed a bill to ban it. Brian points out that everything above 30 feet belongs to the federal government, you know, in terms of airspace. So I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not sure the drafters of the bill know that. But other what you can do is take action at a state house level, find that Tennessee bill on BillCam on legislature.com. And to, you know, send it to your representative of your state house to say, please pass a bill like this.
Yeah.
So if we pass those in 50 states, it may help. But we need to really lobby our next president as well to not geoengineer at a federal level.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that is an area where people can really begin to get activated. Even if the bill isn't perfect, it serves to build public awareness. And as people become more aware of this, they can become more activated in their own communities and really stop these programs because they're terrible. We didn't even get into what is in the atmosphere, what is falling down into the land, how it's impacting the soil, the air, the water, what we are breathing in every day. That's another show. So we'll definitely go there. And I really appreciate this 40,000 foot vantage point perspective, Dr. Wolf. So thank you so much. You guys, please support Naomi Wolf. Follow her on Twitter. Her handle is at Naomi R. Wolf. You can support her efforts at dailyclout.io. You can subscribe. You can become a sponsor. You can send them contributions. Buy her book. What are you promoting right now, Dr. Wolf?
Well, this is The Bodies of Others.
Yes.
And the new book is called Facing the Beast, Courage, Faith, and Resistance in a New Dark Age. And you can order the volume 2 of the Pfizer papers. Pre-order it. It's coming out in May. But yeah, if you support dailycloud.io or support my podcast Outspoken, then you're supporting all of us, including the amazing Shannon Joy.
Oh, awesome. Vidana is on the live chat. I just bought The Bodies of Others on Audible. Yeah, you're the best, Vidana. Thank you so, so much.
I do. Sadly, I have to go.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you are the best. Thank you so much, my friend. And you stay safe. Thank you guys so much for being with us today on the Shannon Joy Show and welcoming Dr. Naomi Wolf. She is amazing. And we might not always agree with her. We might not always agree on everything, but you can always know that she's going to tell you the truth. And really, that's what I'm looking for. I want people who are genuine, who are disclosing their angles and their sponsors, who are being honest in their pursuit of truth and their reporting. And Naomi Wolf is really, honestly, the gold standard right now in that arena. Even if you don't agree with all of her opinions on certain issues, really great reporting over at dailyclout.io. And again, her Substack, I want to remind you guys that that Substack, and she gave me the name of it, The Vitamin Wars on Daily Clout, or no, I'm sorry, on her Substack, really gives, it is basically a primer, not only on how to conduct ethical journalism and reporting and in this arena of the new independent media, but also for lay people, for those of you who consume conservative media or mainstream news media, news in general, this is an amazing piece to read because it will help you understand what you should be demanding from the outlets and the journalists and the reporters that you follow, whether it's Steve Bannon or Bongino, Talk Radio, The Blaze, Daily Wire. None of us are ever always perfect, right? And this will help you discern and help you become very good at choosing the platforms and the outlets that you are going to get your news from. I couldn't end the program without, first of all, saying thank you to all of you on the live chat. You guys are amazing. You guys are so brilliant, so helpful, and really understanding. I really, you know, I know a lot of you disagreed with Naomi on some of her positions, especially on life, but I'm very respectful in the live chat, and I really appreciate that. So you guys are amazing. Bill Benz, thank you so much. CJP Rumble, of course. Vadana says, if we all agree on everything, we aren't learning anything. I agree. CJP Rumble says, Shannon will have a discussion when she disagrees. We've lost that ability. Well, let's gain it back, right? The politicians, the media people, the men in the suits in the back rooms, I mean, they're determining the discussions that we have, right? We're taking our cues from them, and they're presenting this, you know, really toxic, really combative discussion using talking points and vague descriptions and the frequency that we talked about earlier in the program. And I think it really is it is training and teaching our society and our culture to have those same conversations. We have to change and have better conversations. So I really, really appreciate you guys. And, you know, what's the point? If you don't have tough conversations and talk to people who disagree with you, then why do it? It's not interesting. I've never thought that was interesting. Talking to people in the peanut gallery or people, you know, who share my opinions on everything is nice. I like being in that ecosystem every so often. But if you want to be challenged, you really want to talk to people who you know are ethical and honest and genuine about these type of things. So yes, really fascinating show. Make sure you visit Naomi's Substack for that that piece, The Vitamin Wars. And of course, I want to thank you all for supporting our sponsors. So the folks over at Connect2Mobile, go to phone123.com/joy to check them out. If you want to think about and consider learning about gold, please go to Colonial Metals Group. And the link is right in the description of this show. It's the first link. Use that so that they know that we sent you. And of course, our good friends over at Field of Greens, we love them as well. Also, huge shout out to Rumble. By the way, speaking of independent media in the wild, wild west, man, Rumble has been, you guys know when I got dumped by my producers last fall and didn't know what I was going to do. There was no way I could pay a production company. Our budget is like that big here at the Shannon Joy Show. And I can tell you guys, we were very, very close to having to shut things down. I did not know how I was going to get this show produced. It was so stressful. And Rumble came in at just the right time. Thank you, Jesus. And really helped me. They gave me support. I was able to do training. They set me up with Rumble Creator Studio Beta. So before anyone else had access to it, they trained me on it and really helped me become independently produced and able to broadcast live to you every day. I still pinch myself. I still cannot believe that I'm able to produce this show on my own. I am not technologically savvy at all, and I could not have done it without them. So Rumble is an amazing platform for independent creators, and I'm really, really thankful for the help that they have given me in broadcasting this show independently every day. So even if we don't always agree with what Rumble's putting on the top of the fold or under editor's pick, I wish this show was under editor's pick more often, but that's okay. What they are doing in the allowing of free speech and the emergence of this new independent media is absolutely amazing. And I am so thankful for that. And it really just allows me to be me. That's always what I wanted to do with this show, is just come here as myself, have these conversations with you guys, bring you some good information, hopefully inspire you to get activated in your community and really take seriously your independence and your privacy and our God-given natural rights as laid out by our Constitution, and then fight for those in a good way from the bottom up locally so that we can pass on this amazing experiment that is the United States of America and our freedoms to our kids. And that's what drives me every single day. If you guys want to know what my angles are, you know my advertisers, but my angles, I started this over 10 years ago because of my kids. I could not bear to send my kids into a world darkened by tyranny. And that is what drives me to this day 100%. So I couldn't do it without all of you. I couldn't do it without our sponsors and our friendships with people like Naomi over at Daily Clout. And of course, the amazing, amazing staff, Vivian at Rumble. Thank you so much, Chris and Axel, who is my tech support when I get things wrong. You guys are just absolutely so valuable, and I'm so thankful for you. So thank you guys for being with us today. Great show with Dr. Naomi Wolf. Of course, support her at dailyclout.io. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Connecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Connecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Connecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Connecta.